I think a lot of people know this, but maybe a lot of people don't, that, you know, there's so much to learn from failure, and that, you know, the most successful people in the world have succeeded because of how many times they failed. And, succeeding tells you exactly what you did right, but failure tells you everything that you did wrong and everything that you can do differently next time.
I see you as like kind of this budding philosopher, Sam, and that's brilliant. Okay, welcome. This is Dr. John Duffy, and I am happy to announce that Sam is back with me again today. Sam, by way of reminder, is a really unique guy. Sam was born with some kidney issues that were inevitably going to lead to a transplant. And he also, maybe as a result, maybe not, but academically, his life took some interesting turns in that he never really engaged academically, but he found his way around rules in a way that is kind of suggests this unique set of skills that Sam has. And I was just telling him, you know, from the day I met him, we wanted to, his parents, me, other people who involved in his life, you know, all the adults wanted to get him into a certain box of normalcy, or, you know, this linear line that we expect kids to follow, when in fact, Sam didn't belong in that box. And he kind of knew, even at 17 or 18 years old, no, I'm destined for something different. And it's a bit of a cautionary tale, I think, for parents out there and for friends, anybody who knows somebody who runs a little bit differently, a little bit off course, that they might know exactly what they're doing and to maybe trust and respect where they're coming from. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you. Good to be back.
So what do you think of that notion? Do you think, you know, we were all trying too hard to get you to capitulate to the norm?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that. I think that, you know, I mean, I don't want to talk bad about my parents. They did a good job. And
no, they're awesome. And divorced and awesome, right? Yeah, I mean, you know, like there's also this element that we haven't talked about where your parents went through the good divorce and it worked. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they're still best friends and they live at the opposite corners of the same block. So
yeah.
They're close.
Yeah, talk about making life workable for your kids, right? You know,
right.
Like literally to get to dad's house. How long, if you walk from mom's house to dad's house?
So 0.4 miles.
0.4 miles.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Which is literally one block.
Right, right. I remember you showed me on Google Earth one time, you know, and it looks like, oh yeah, they're basically next door to each other. And that must, I mean, that might be something we want to talk about. But
yeah.
So, right. You don't want to talk badly about your parents, but
I think there's a right way to parent, and I think there's the traditional way of parenting, or the way that people kind of do it because that's the way their parents did it.
Right.
And I think that I'm not a parent, so I don't have as much experience, but I've been parented, so.
I think that counts for something.
I see a lot of things, and I kind of noticed that, you know, the more parents kind of push their kids into a certain direction, the kind of either, even if it's the right direction, even it can kind of discourage them from following that path. Or, and if it's the wrong path, you know, they force it and they end up resenting the parents or resenting situations. And
right.
They, you know, it's much, I think, better. And this is a quote I got from somebody else, but, you know, to kind of let them experiment, let them complete their experiment, let them, you know, see out whatever they're doing. And, you know, if they break something, you know, let them break it, you know.
Yeah.
Let them fail. You know, see what happens. And because, you know, my parents would always kind of say, you know, if you don't pass this semester, you know, we're going to have to take away this, or this is going to happen. And that's not really how life works. You know, that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's not a, you don't have your parents over your head forever, you know, slapping you on the wrist every time you make a bad move. Or, you know, it's more, you know, life slapping you on the wrist. And, you know, if you don't work hard at your job, you're not going to make money, and you're not going to, you know, be able to support yourself. And that's, you know, that's what happens. That's
just a natural consequence of how life works.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I remember having a lot of arguments with my parents, just being like, if I fail this test, then, you know, that's my consequence. You know, I don't need two consequences for the same result. I don't need to fail the test and then be grounded for the weekend. You know, it's And
that's actually such a great parenting lesson. Seriously, Sam. I mean, there is great wisdom in that. Let them fail, see what happens, and the consequence is the consequence. You don't need to add to it, right? You know, kids are intuitive. They get it. They'll note, like, okay, that didn't work, and they'll either adapt or something different will happen.
Yeah, I think a lot of people know this, but maybe a lot of people don't, that, you know, there's so much to learn from failure, and that, you know, the most successful people in the world have succeeded because of how many times they failed. And, you know, succeeding tells you exactly what you did right, but failure tells you everything that you did wrong and everything that you can do differently next time.
That's, you know, I see you as like kind of this budding philosopher, Sam, and that's like, that's brilliant. And yet, you know, I'm a parent, I work with a lot of parents, and I can imagine parents listening to us right now, anxiety rises because, like, ooh, yeah, I don't want that to happen.
It scares them.
It scares them.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, they don't want their kid to fail. You know, no one does, but, and you can let them fail small or you can let them fail big. You know, it's kind of up to them. And, you know, I, you know, again, I can't speak from having kids, and I don't know how I'm going to do it when I do have kids, but, you know, my dad kind of gave me a little more free rein. Both my parents did, actually, in different ways. But, you know, I think there was, you know, I was given a long leash, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, I learned a lot of things myself that, you know, I definitely would not have learned through my parents or through, well, yeah, I guess through my parents.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Through these kind of normal channels, right? Even from teachers and things like that, right? It seems like you learned a lot kind of just, you seem like a real street smart guy, who I always suspect, by the way, is book smart as well, you know,
which
but just not motivated, you know, like just not interested in certain things, but super interested in others, you know? And when you're interested, it seems like you're kind of unstoppable.
Well, when I'm interested in something, I want to know, you know, everything that there is to know about it, because, you know, it interests me. And,
yeah.
If there's something that doesn't interest me, I mean, I don't, it's off the record, you know, it's off the books. And,
right.
You know, I mean, so, you know, cars, you know, astrophysics kind of space and the universe interests me, and, you know, successful people and being successful and, you know, kind of having clarity of mind, that kind of stuff interests me a lot. And the stuff that doesn't interest me, like I cannot hold a conversation about sports, you know, ever. you know,
and do you even pretend, or do you kind of like,
no, everyone who knows me knows that if there's a sports conversation, I am not involved.
That's great.
You know, but, you know, I'll tell you how much horsepower is in the car down the street, you know, and, you know, what year and, you know, everything about it. But,
and you mean that literally. I mean, there isn't a car out on the street right here that you couldn't identify. You couldn't tell me the year of, you couldn't tell me the horsepower.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, I just want to be clear. So people get that, you know, like Sam knows cars cold.
Yeah. It's cars have been a part of my life since before I could remember and talk and probably think, and
yeah
you know, no, I don't know really where that stems from,
right? But, right, it's interesting though.
Yeah
so where we kind of left off was you were kind of talking about like this path you took that was this kind of grand deviation from the norm, right? Where it was like, you know, even in third grade you were like, you realized, oh, I don't have to follow that rule. I don't have to have a stack of homework, you know, like up till Oxford, where you realize I can go party with this professor and I can ace this class or at least get a C+, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of curious to hear, and for people to hear, where all of that takes you, right? Because it feels like, ooh, this story might not end well, right? You know, like here's a guy who is kind of cheating the system and he's not well, right? Eventually, he needs this transplant. So, what happens from Oxford on?
So, from Oxford on, well, then I went to Austria.
Oh, right, from Austria, right.
Yeah. It was, you know, Oxford after high school, partied 2 years of Arizona, partied, had classes taken down for me, given straight A's for $500 a piece,
Wow.
It's cheap.
Yeah, that's a $500 is a cheap A.
What a deal, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that what it costs to get for $500 a semester?
Yeah, yeah.
Straight A's.
The Jew in me was very excited. So that was a fun couple of years. And then from there, I somehow convinced my parents to let me go to Austria with one of my good friends that I'd met in Oxford. And by the time that ended, and I actually came home from that trip 10 days early, and the day I was supposed to have the plane ride home is the day I went into the hospital and found out that I needed a transplant.
Got it. Do you remember, I hate to bring it back to like kind of this difficult point in your life, do you remember what it was like to hear that news?
I don't think it really all hit me at once. You know, I think it kind of, that day I was not really, my mind wasn't really there.
I
came down with something called encephalopathy, and basically it's a buildup of ammonia in the brain, and you're not thinking clearly. I couldn't answer questions like what year it was or who the president was or...
Wow.
That was a little scary. So, you know, that was the day they really told me that I needed a transplant, and... I think I kind of accepted it and was like, okay. And I actually don't know if it actually hit me until the day I was getting the transplant. But between that time and the transplant was about 4 months.
Okay.
So, and it actually got rescheduled a couple times, so it got pushed back a couple times.
That's got to be very difficult to have that time. You know, right? I mean, I would imagine being told and then going into surgery the next day, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Having these weeks and weeks spanning in between has got to be difficult.
Yeah, it was kind of tough because I wasn't working. You know, I wasn't, I don't think I was working. I might have been, actually, no, I wasn't working. And, you know, I was just kind of sitting at home.
Thinking about it?
I'd distract myself and watch movies and, mm-hmm. you know, clean my car. I was doing a little bit of detailing. You know, I had a detailing business that I started in high school that I would kind of come back to every summer.
Right.
With a friend of mine. And, you know, we kind of did that. And, you know, it was clear that, you know, he was working a lot harder than I was because I just didn't have the energy.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, I wanted to continue this even after I got the transplant. You know, I was being very... naive and said, I'll only be out for a couple weeks, you know, and then we'll get right back to it.
Yeah.
And, it was a 3-month recovery, so.
Right. Took some time.
But, yeah, I mean, so, you know, and actually I give a lot of credit to that friend because he was there through the whole, you know, before the transplant and, you know, during and even after, you know, he was helping to, you know, clean cars while I was, you know, up in bed, you know, trying to recover. And, you know, I would want to help, and he would say, you know, no.
Wow, yeah, no kidding. So, that's a good friend.
Good friend, yeah. And that was tough, you know. I was just kind of sitting around watching movies, you know, while he's down there, you know, making money. And, I mean, you know, obviously I was making money too. It was my business. But I wanted to be doing the work and be meeting with the customers. And
what an odd time. I mean, you know, I'm just thinking, like, not many of us have this moment in our lives, so this period of time where... you know, we know we're going to undergo this transplant procedure that's this major surgery, right? And the transplant was coming from one of your parents.
Right, my mom.
Yep. Yeah. Does mortality play into your thinking during this time?
Well, I guess it was interesting, you know, in the first half of this talk,
yeah.
I mentioned that... you know, I was kind of threatened by death, you know, the whole beginning of my life. And then as it got closer to the transplant, it's interesting, I wasn't as worried about it. I was kind of like, you know, okay, I'm going to have a transplant, but it'll be fine, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so it, kind of the closer it got, the more okay I was with it, kind of.
And you said you knew... your whole life it was coming in a way, yeah? So
yeah,
it almost a relief, like, okay, it's finally here?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, this is like what I've been waiting for, you know? It's like my whole life I've been told, you know, one day you're going to need a transplant. One day, okay, finally I'm getting a transplant. And, you know, there were times where I was like, you know, why don't we just do it now and get it out of the way? You know, even when I was 15, 16, you know, I was like, all right, you know, like, you know, my stomach extended out, you know, would that help that? You know, would it help my blood pressure? Would it help, you know, I was just having all these little issues either, you know, like with my body or, you know, and, you know, would this fix all that? And,
oh yeah, I can imagine. And like, you've mentioned a couple times your stomach extending out at 15 years old, you know, I don't want to dismiss that as kind of a big deal. Right. I mean, like,
you know, it was, right. You know, you looked at me from the side, it looked, you know, like I was half pregnant. You know?
So, wow.
That was kind of hard to get around. And after the transplant, it did go down and, you know, I don't look as goofy as I did, which is nice. So, but I think going into it, and I was anxious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine. I mean, any major surgery is anxiety provoking.
Yeah.
And so the procedure happens. What's recovery like? And, you know, period of time, you know, afterwards like?
It was interesting. I don't look back at it as being that tough per se. It was more of kind of like, well, you know, it was cool because I was, you know, recovering right alongside my mom. You know, she was, you know, literally we'd be in the same room, you know, just trying to move.
Yeah.
And
your mom, as a side note here, your mom wanted to play that role, didn't she? She was like eager.
She would have been extremely upset if she wasn't able to give me a kidney.
Why is that, do you think? I mean, that's seems like the most generous, you know, yeah, thing a parent can do for a child. I mean, it's kind of like this beautiful story.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of can't even explain it, you know. I mean, just she really likes me.
This proves it, right? Yeah. If you ever doubted it once, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was, you know, say, you know, she's a good mom. She didn't give me life once. She gave it to me twice. And,
ugh.
So it was a cool time where, you know, she'll say that I deny it, but we definitely bonded. And, you know, so, it was kind of a fun time at the same time as, you know, being tough, you know.
Interesting. So it wasn't all bad. It was like,
no, but I mean, there were definitely some tougher days and some, you know, you can't walk up and down the stairs really, you know, unless, you know, if you have 10 minutes of free time and,
wow,
which I did.
Yeah, right.
But so yeah, I mean, and there was a lot of watching movies and kind of hanging out, which, you know, at that point I really liked to do. You know,
yeah.
So it wasn't the worst, but you know, after 3 months, I wanted to kind of get out there and start my life. You know.
So
but,
talk about that, right?
Yeah.
Because it seems like from that spot in your life, you really kind of sprang forward. I mean, you know, did you? First of all, physically, were things dramatically different for you? Did you notice something right away?
Yeah, as soon as I woke up, pretty much from the surgery, I noticed that I had, you know, a new energy that I didn't really have before, you know, and, you know, I hadn't even known that my whole life I didn't have full energy.
Wow,
so
right.
To think your whole life that's, you know, 65% energy is 100%. You know, now 100% energy feels like 130% energy, you know, 140% energy. So it's, I felt like a, you know, I felt great, you know, going forward and that I could, you know, get it. It was like, all right, now my life started. Now I can kind of get going with things.
Sam, I can barely fathom what that's like. I mean, you know, it sounds like the most exhilarating thing a guy can recognize. Like, oh, okay. So it's almost like, you know, you're rolling the boulder uphill and all of a sudden the boulder's gone and you're like, oh, I can just walk uphill. It's not that hard.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Amazing. I mean, you know, like, and I have to say it showed on you. Like, you know, I could tell, and you talked about it, but I could tell that you felt better, you know. I didn't realize it was such a marked change. I mean, that's a big shift in energy level.
And I think, you know, things kind of happen quicker with me personally than maybe with other patients. You know, I know that they told me when they're actually connect the kidney and sew you back up, sometimes it'll take a day, a couple of days, sometimes as much as a week for the kidney to actually start functioning properly with the body. And they said with me that it was functioning before they even sewed me up, which was kind of unbelievable.
Wow.
And I think that's because, you know, I got a kidney from someone who's related to me, like the closest match I can really get. you know, unless it was like a twin.
Right.
You know, and I, you know, I mean, so the surgery is a little bit harder on the one donating the kidney than it is on me, the recipient. And so, you know, my mom was in a lot of pain coming out of the surgery. You know, they you know, it's a lot harder to take something out than just to connect
sure.
a few things. So, you know, she was in a little more pain, and I kind of came out, you know, and I was wide awake and cracking jokes, I guess. You know,
no kidding.
Right, yeah, within an hour of being awake.
How did you feel about what your mom went through?
Guilty.
I was wondering.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt bad, you know. I mean, I give her a lot of credit, you know.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of something to do that.
Yeah. A lot of love,
yeah,
right? I mean,
yeah,
she likes you.
Yeah, she likes
right. me. Yeah.
I you know, infinite amount of kudos to her.
Yeah,
so.
Right. So after a few months of recovery, you decide to start your life. What does that mean? What does that look like? What do you do?
So I wanted to get, you know, I had kind of been working with this guy in the car business for, you know, summers previously. He'd actually fired me once before because I may have crashed one of his cars into another one of his cars. And, you know.
You may have.
I may have.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Can't confirm or deny. And actually that was a result of me not sleeping, because not sleeping is a sign of a deteriorating kidney function, and me not sleeping led me to fall asleep at the wheel and, you know, slam into the car in front of me. And
chain effect.
I mean, luckily I was fine, and, you know, we kind of put it together that this happened because of I was sick, and we didn't really even know I was sick. And so he hired me back, which is nice of him. And he's kind of a family friend, he's another great guy, another great influence in my life. And I started, you know, working with him, and actually he had a surgery right as I was recovering. So we kind of bonded over that and, you know, became close. And I mean, we were already pretty close,
yeah.
But, you know, even closer. And, you know, I kind of look at him as a second dad sometimes even. And So I worked for him for a long time, a couple of years, and then, you know, I learned the wholesale side of, you know, car sales. And, you know, I always knew I wanted to be in the car business, not exactly sure what. So eventually he wanted me to sell retail. You know?
Right.
So he sent me to another dealership where I got to sell to actual customers, and, you know, I got to learn the retail side and the sales and, you know, how to sell, which I didn't really know. And so I learned a lot there. And then, you know, that specific dealership was really far away from the city where I was living.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of asked him one day, you know, do you think you can get me a job at this Highline dealership in Chicago? You know, I think I know how to sell cars a little bit now. I've got my bearings. And, you know, do you know anyone there? You know,
right.
And so he got me a meeting with the guy, and apparently he had worked it out, so I was hired before I even came in, and I didn't know it. But he's like, you know, all right, start in a couple of weeks, coming Monday, go get four suits, get them tailored, you know, make sure you look good. And I started selling, you know, really high end, you know, Ferraris and Lamborghinis and, you know, the stuff that I love.
Yeah,
and,
right. So just let me encapsulate something and make sure people understand this. So here's a guy who, has this kidney disease his whole life, right? And it suppresses his energy. He struggles in school to the point where he chooses not to struggle, and really kind of like finds ways not to necessarily phone it in, but to cheat the system, never finishes college, right? Mm-hmm. And goes through a kidney transplant. Not long after that, you're selling Lamborghinis. Like, you know, like, so if anybody thinks like, okay, there's one way to get successful, there's probably more than one path to success, right? I mean, that's a great story unto itself.
Yeah. And, I mean, I can't take full credit, you know. I mean, I had a lot of great connections kind of going into the business, and, but, you know, I knew I want, that's, those are the cars I wanted to work around. And,
right.
You know, I was going to get those cars, you know.
You're going to be close to those cars no matter what. Right.
To work around them, work with them. So once I got to that point, that was really, really amazing. And it's funny how long it didn't last, you know.
Right.
And not that I got fired.
Right. Why didn't that last long? You quit that job, right?
Yeah. And so I quit that job because, well, for a lot of reasons, but mostly because I wanted to start something else on my own and do, you know, I was never really good at working for people. I had worked for my dad, who has a real estate company, and I never really liked that. You know, it was at a desk, and you know, you're staring at the computer screen all day, and you know, I liked car sales. I liked talking to people, going out for test drives. You know, mm-hmm. just kind of more hands-on stuff. And then I figured, you know, I had some ideas that I wanted to pursue, and you know, I couldn't do that and work full time for, you know, Bentley, and so I quit.
Yeah. And lest you be like overly humble, like you left to start a business. And it seems to me like you are starting four or five or six businesses.
Yeah, I mean, the more, so it's interesting that, I mean, people have come to me with opportunities kind of left and right. You know, I never really was your average highline car salesman. You know, a lot of those guys aren't very nice guys. A lot of times are really pushy, and I was never like that. You know, I wanted to make them happy, and you know, if I felt like they were getting ripped off, I kind of didn't want to do that as much, and I would try to find them good deals, which my boss hated. You know?
I was gonna say hard business to have a heart in, right?
Yeah. You know, and most of those guys at the dealership aren't really car guys.
Right.
You know? Some of them are, but most of them are there to, you know, make money.
And it doesn't matter what they're selling in a way, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
They could be selling refrigerators.
Yep, you know, yep.
If it made them as much commission, they would be doing the same thing.
It must be weird that car's meant something to you, and it must be hard to watch somebody press it on somebody when you're like, oh, no, they don't want that one. You know, like,
So I mean, it was definitely an interesting place to be. I made a lot of great contacts, and, you know, I mean, one person that, one of my partners now in a couple of businesses is someone who I met there who, you know, kind of came in and worked there for a little bit, and then, you know, I actually left. I was there. I saw, you know, four people come and go with it while I was working there for only 6 months.
Which, wow.
You know, quick turnaround with some employees.
So that might have seemed like a dream job walking in, but you realized pretty quickly, I really don't want to work for somebody. I want to work for me.
Yeah. So, you know, it was cool to kind of realize that, okay, I had this job, but, you know, that's not what I want, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that was important for me to realize. And,
yep.
You know, if I never worked that job, I probably kept sort of working up to it and maybe realized that later.
Yeah, right. It's a good point.
So,
So you're kind of grateful for the experience, like, early that, okay, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I probably would have chased that.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy way to get your hands on a Ferrari.
Right. It's a good point. So what does... From your perspective, sitting here now, what does the future look like for you?
I think that I'm at a weird place right now where I'm trying to start some things, and you know, I'm not sure which one of them is going to take off, and you know, I'm trying to focus. As you said, you know, I had like four or five ideas I was trying to pursue, and I'm trying to narrow it down to maybe one or two and really focus on those. Right now I've got it down to two because they're both with the same guy and they're already both a little bit established, so it makes it easier to kind of, you don't have to actually start a full business.
Right,
two
right.
times. You just got to continue kind of two,
yep.
two startups. And, but I, you know, I never saw myself doing just one thing. I always say I have too much ADD for that, you know, and and I never wanted to be a guy sitting at a desk all day. And I wanted to have a job or a career, just whatever it is that, you know, brings me to interesting places, that takes me to meet interesting people, and kind of gets me into some stuff that I wouldn't necessarily be exposed to.
And to bring this conversation full circle, you know, do you feel like I kind of always knew I was heading this way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so. Yeah. For sure. I mean, I from a young age, I remember college, you know, like I cannot picture myself going to college, you know, like, these big rooms with like all these people in it, listening to one guy talk, like, how I saw it in movies. And it was just like, it was like off putting to me.
Right.
It was like, you know, what's that about?
And yet you seem to have created an education for yourself independent of that, kind of teaching yourself what you need to know to do what you want to do. That's something that's fascinated me about you.
Well, I was born at the right time for that, you know, with internet and everything. And, you know, I can go on the computer and learn about whatever I want to learn about, you know, within a couple seconds. You know, if I want to look up a video on, you know, specific things about cars, I can do that. Or if I want to know about, you know, space, I can look at that. And, cooking, you know, look at that. And,
right.
You know, I mean, it's limitless.
It must be kind of a blast to have all this energy a couple years post-surgery and know, like, the future looks really, really bright for me. Like, I, you know, good things are going to happen. You seem like you have no doubt about it.
Little doubt.
little doubt.
Still doubt. But
all right, that's so natural. Right. It's definitely natural. All right. So to kind of wrap up here, I've introduced you as a bit of a philosopher to my thinking. I know you study guys like Steve Jobs and Neil deGrasse Tyson, and, you know, and you kind of pull these things together. So I'm going to put you on the spot here for a second. Okay. So you got a room full of people. You're not nervous. You're doing your TED Talk, you know. What do you want people to know about life, about experience, about a different path that they might not know now?
I think that the road less traveled is, you know, the road to take. I think that, you know, you just gotta follow. I mean, it's a bunch of cliches, you know, and they're all true. And, you know, it's, I guess if I were to quote one of those guys, I would choose Steve Jobs. And, you know, he says that, you know, life is, you know, most people get, you know, they're told life is just like, you know, to behave and live your life inside these, you know, walls, and not to bash into the walls too much, and make some money, have a good family life, and, you know, have some kids, a couple cars in the garage, and, you know, you'll be happy. And, but, you know, there's a much broader life to be had, and that's once you realize that everything that you call life around you is made by no one who is smarter than you, and that you can change it and influence it and make other things that other people are going to use. And, It's a simple fact, but it's a powerful mindset to have.
Yeah.
You know, to know that, you know, okay, that guy made $1 million, but he's not really smarter than I am.
Right.
Or he's not necessarily, you know, he may have more experience, more, you know, but, you know, and with some of the stuff I've been learning about, like hypnotherapy and stuff like that, you realize that half these guys aren't, you know, there's idiots out there making millions of dollars, you know?
right.
So it's crazy. And, you know, it's, you know, I try to clear my head going into life, you know, because I don't want to have, you know, to go through a divorce. I don't want to have to, you know, have a midlife crisis, you know, which, you know, I think a lot of these things happen because people don't clear out the bullshit in their head, you know, when
right.
they're, in their teens and 20s, and, you know, it comes back at them, you know.
Yeah, it's well put, Sam, right.
Yeah.
Listen, I am really grateful that you're here. I
was happy to do it. I'm just excited about it.
Good. A couple thoughts just to kind of wrap things up here. To your point, Sam, don't make assumptions about anybody, right? Because you're probably wrong. And you've taught me, and I want you to know that I've used this in my work with other people, like, to not make assumptions and to kind of like take a beat and like think about where the brilliance lies in people, because it's not always where you want it to be, but it's where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know?
And a lot of people think they have to change, but they don't really have to change. They just have to, you know, kind of release what's already there and just kind of clear some of the bullshit out, and that, you know, you'll find that you've had what you need all along, and that you just kind of got to know it's there.
All right. Wise words from Sam. Thank you, man. Thanks for being here. Yep. Yeah. Thanks.